Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again this morning as we go into your word, Father, we're asking the Holy Spirit to be with us. Father, to give us guidance, to give us greater knowledge as we read this, thy word this morning, so that we can grow, Father, in faith, in strength, and grow into a closer walk with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us. You're at this study. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, last evening we had finished with chapter 18 and the first 14 verses of chapter 19. And we had seen where Absalom, King David's son, had formed a large army and had really more or less taken over Israel as their king, trying to take his father's place, and he set out to kill his father. But yet David still loved Absalom. And you know, Absalom, in writing to chase after his dad to kill him, he hung himself going under an oak tree by a limb. And then Joab and those with him finished the job of killing Absalom. And then we found here in 19 where David was weeping and mourning for his son Absalom. But a lot of the people didn't like that. Anyway, as we went through, we found where they finally got things kind of squared away within themselves. And we ended up with that 14th verse because now they was asking David to come on back in and take back his house and all and his work. Because he had to leave his home and everything. Now, but they had also beat Absalom's army, and in one day there was 20,000 killed. That one day. When you talk about times of slaughter and killing, they were kind of the days. So we're going to be picking up this morning with verse 15. You see, the second chapter is quite lengthy. There's 43 verses to it. We're going to be picking up with verse 15 and going on where David now returns to Jerusalem. Here in 15, so the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. 16. And Shemaiah, the son of Jerah, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hastened and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. Now, we know, you know, where he come to meet King David, you know, 17. And there was 1,000 men of Benjamin with him and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him, and they went over Jordan before the king. Now here this Ziba. We haven't seen a whole lot about him. We don't know how many wives he had, but we know he had more than one, and have 15 sons. Now, Verse 18, and there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shemaiah, the son of Jerah, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. 19. And said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did. Perseverely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. 20. For thy servant does know that I have sinned, therefore, pardon me, behold, I am come the first day, I have come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. He kind of bragging a little bit about himself there, not all the things he's done, trying to get in good with the king. We'll make sure he's in good. 21. But Abshiah, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimeah be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord, the Lord's anointed? Now, don't know when he done that, but evidently he did. Now, 22. And David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? He's back at his own position and his old job of being king that Absalom had took away when he ran. David ran from him. Now, 23. Therefore, the king said unto Shimeah, thou shalt not die. And the king sware unto him. Now he's swearing an oath to Shimeah that he's not going to put him to death, that he's not going to die. But will that really hold? But back then, they broke a lot of promises that was made to each other. Now, 24. And there's that name that I cannot get right. And Mephibosheth. Anyway, it's Mephibosheth. The son of Saul came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. He'd been a long time without a bath or change of clothes or anything else. And his beard, won't tell him what it looked like all that time. Now, 25. And it came to pass, when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest not thou with me? 26. And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. Now, we don't know why he was lame, but he's lame. Walking very good. 27. And he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. In thine eyes. 28. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my Lord the King. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table? What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. You see, David seems uncertain as to his part in the rebellion, you know, and perhaps he did not care to even look into the matter at this time, or just felt that Ziba was in a position to be of help to him in the restoration of his kingdom. The edict here seems to be the compromise between those given in 9:9 and 16:4 for the name not to but see the note, and it gives another place to go and see a note, which we're not going. But anyway, it gives another note, good note to go to. All right, now, Richard's going to be taking us way back into chapter 2. Now here in verse 30, Bosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house. 31. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogel and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. We got a lot of them trying to help him over Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of substance while he lay Mahan, for he was a very great man. He was 80 years old. Now, 33. And the king said unto Barzillai, Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live that I should go up with the king into Jerusalem? 35. I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? He was afraid he was going to be a burden to him. 36. The servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? He wants to know why the king should even give him this reward that he's talking about by taking him with him. Now, and really, he's talking about being old at 80. And back then, 80 should not have been all that old. They lived even into several hundred years. And here he is talking about 80 years being old. I think he's looking for an excuse. But anyway, that's just the way he's talking to the thing. Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? 37. Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold thy servant, Chimham, let him go over with my lord, the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. 39. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzilla and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. 40. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him. And all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also at the people of Israel. Now, he's got a lot of people with him now. 41. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away and have brought thee, king, and his household, and all David's men with him over Jordan? Now they're asking this question, Israel. 42. And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is near of kin to us. Wherefore then be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all of the king's coast, or has he given us any gift? Which he hadn't. Now, but you see, Israel is wanting to holler about it, because they had been following Absalom against the king. Now, and the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right in David than ye. Why then did ye despise us, that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. Well, you see, there in those last three verses, although both Israel and Judah supported the king's return, the pronounced difference that had always existed between the northern and southern tribes surfaced again, and the difference that had existed since the early days of the conquest and had been highlighted in David's accession to the throne. And the basic tension will emerge in the rebellion of Sheba and develop into a full session of northern tribes after the death of Solomon. Now, you know, they were always bickering about something. And yet, these were all tribes of the Jewish people before they got together rightly, which was to be many more years down the road. But they were constantly at each other, undermining each other, and trying to come out always on top. Well, you see, these two that are arguing here that we've been studying about, Judah and Israel, they're both Jewish people. You look at what they're doing. You see, we really needed the Savior. Mankind really needed him. And God knew this. And he sent him so that we could have peace. But look what man has done even for that now, today, in this day and time. Here in our own land, we have so many different teachings. And most of them are contrary to a lot of God's word. And a lot of God's word being left out altogether. We don't stop and think about this. And then our own land, we took the Lord Jesus out of every place, starting with our schools and then out of all of our public places. And the places public that had public prayer, they can have prayer, but they can't use his name in that prayer. And without his name in that prayer, that prayer is no good. And we are told that in the word. Because we are told to pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and he would hear us from heaven. And if we knew he heard us from heaven, then he would give us our wishes. But then they took him out of our prayers. They didn't take him out of mine, nor are they going to get to. Because he's going to be in my prayers until the day I step out of this life. because it's him that I want to follow. It's him that I want to go through, because he is the way, the only way of making heaven our home. And we are to stand on every word of God's word that is here in this book. And he's not going to tell me not to do something and then turn around and tell you to do that. No. And you see, that's more or less what's going on right now. This group believes you can do this. This group over here don't believe you can do that. But when you go to looking, they're both wrong. Because they're both doing things that is against and contrary to the word of Almighty God and what we are being commanded to do in this day and time. It's time that we wake up, church. And it's time that we take a stand and declare the truth of God's word and share this gospel with all that we can meet and share it with. And any way that we can reach out with this word, we need to be doing. No excuses of staying away from it, staying out of it. I ain't got time to study God's word. You better make time, or you're going to stand before him and wish you had, but then it's too late. And he tells you that in his word. We'll be getting into that a little later. Now, remember, this evening we will be having communion. I'd like to have it each and every evening. All right. Let us stop here now and go get ready and go to the Lord in prayer. You know, chapter 20's got 26 verses in it. It's not as long as what this one was. But we had shortened this one by taking this verse 14 last evening. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we close your word. Father, I thank you for this word. And Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for all things that you've done for us, for this ministry, and all the things you've done, Father, through this ministry in reaching out to others and giving them a helping hand. And Father, we do stand with Israel, and we pray for Israel and Jerusalem, for them to have peace. And Father, we pray for all of Israel to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, has so much evil that's been brought to it in the last few years and has been brought by those that are able in high offices of our government, of our churches, and of our courts. And Father, I pray for them to be removed from office and replaced with those that belong to you, that love you, Father, love the Lord Jesus, love the church, love your people, and love this country, and will work with us, Father, to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, to all of those that stand with me in this ministry, that study with us in this ministry, and for their families, Jenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy and her husband Tom, her son Jacob, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for James Taylor, for my wife, and for those, Father, there in Brandenburg in the nursing home, and Father, for Sue Branson and for Debbie. Father, this sickness that Debbie has, we know, Father, that it is a horrible disease. Now, Father, heal and heal her quickly, Father. Now, Father, myself and all of our families, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within the family. We all have family members that are walking in darkness. Holy Spirit, work with them or work with us to help to bring them out of darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we separate for this day, be with us, Father. Keep us in health and keep us safe as we go through this day and do the things that we need to do, Father. And bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. Have a great day. And hold on to God. And he'll hold on to you. Bye-bye now.